You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Well, we've had a busy week. We've had a busy summer already, and I hope you're enjoying yours and getting out and having some horsey time. This time, we sit down with Ian Vandenberg, and I can't wait to share him with you. Ian has just spent a lifetime with horses, and there are rare people who can say how many different disciplines and how many different kinds of horses his life has touched. We're really excited to have him back, and he's just been a rock in our organization for 30 years. Monty has known him, really, and worked closely with him for 20. So we're excited to introduce you to Ian Vandenberg. But first, this from Hands on Gloves. Are you ready to deepen your connection with your horse? Then put on some hands-on gloves, the grooming gloves that improve the comfort of your horse. Join us as we explore training techniques, horse welfare, and building a true partnership on this podcast. And find hands-on gloves wherever you get all your grooming needs for your horse. That's hands-on gloves. Ian Vandenberg has a lifetime experience in a range of equestrianisms, from dressage to stud management and foal handling to farrier. By 1991, he realized that he had an equal fascination for training people and added a teaching qualification to his CV. The development of Hartsop Farm as a center for training and learning for horses and people has been his prime focus for the past 20 years. Well, I want to welcome today Ian Vandenberg, all the way over here from what part of the UK are you in?
Well, I'm more or less right in the middle, just outside of Oxford in a town called Witney.
Witney, yeah. A few horses around Witney, yeah?
Yeah, quite a horsey area, quite diverse in what's actually there. But we're just on the edge of the big eventing areas from Gloucester and so on.
Beautiful.
And on the edge of Lambourne, the racing.
Yep.
So nothing's too far away from us, yeah. As we're in the middle of England, you know, so ideal location.
Ideal location. If you want to see beautiful country in England, this is the place to go. So we're fortunate to have you. You can tell us a little bit about what you do there. You've had a classroom there and a place there, and you've been teaching. Mm-hmm. You've been exposed to Monty and become a student of his and now a very advanced mm-hmm. veteran of his concepts now for how many years, Ian?
Well, we're kind of trying to work it out. It's nearly 30 years, you know, since I first met and since Monty invited me to teach on the very first courses we ran with Kelly Marks at Whitney College.
At Whitney College, exactly. Yeah. So you started actually at the college and then founded your own school, your own place there where you gave instruction. How many students do you figure you've run through your school at this point?
Well, it's so difficult to add up, really, but we must be well over 1,000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, over the years. Well, over 30 years, yeah.
So yeah, exactly.
That would be quite easily touching 1,000, you know.
So you have spread the seeds, ambassador-like, for Monty for all these years, but really for the horses, isn't it?
Yeah, it's... you know, because the scene, it was such a different concept in those early days that people initially reacted against it, like always seems to happen. But now they've definitely, over these years, taken it on board, and there's far less questioning of his principles and methods, and there's a far more acceptance, especially seeing there's such a big increase on the welfare of the horse.
Yes.
And that's going hand in hand with Monty's methods.
That's wonderful. And that's a great way of putting it. As opposed to people being open-minded or closed-minded, people started to figure out about the welfare of the horse. When do you think that actually started happening? Was that the 90s or later?
Well, yeah, there's obviously a couple of high-profile incidents that have been happening where the welfare of the horse wasn't regarded, and abstract cruelty and aggression was shown. And then there's a backlash to that, obviously, that people start to voice their opinions more. And as we know with modern media, your voice is heard much quicker now and quicker and easier and to a bigger audience, whereas before it wasn't. You know, it was just held within small groups. Mm-hmm. But now this open platform is there so everybody can hear about it and see about it, you know. And the results of what Monty's work is self-explanatory and people can see it for themselves. And that's why they're all taking it much more on board.
Yeah, I think Dad likes to use the saying, let the horses do the talking for you.
Yeah, very much so. You know, and when we're kind of, because my rider, Jake Harris, when he starts competing and stuff like that, and people are kind of noticing what he's doing, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's taken up to a different level, you know.
Yeah, so you can teach anything that Dad's concepts. You've started horses, you've worked with remedial horses, you've worked with the best of professionals as well. What's some of your favorite things to do with horses?
Well, as you say, we do the whole range, really, because initially, years ago, we were one of the first AI centres, artificial insemination centres, mm-hmm. dealing with chilled and frozen semen. But my wife and I, we have foaled, we think, up nearly 1,000 foals now. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole range from Thoroughbreds, Shires, Cobs, Hackneys, Irish Draft, the whole range. You know, lots of warm bloods as well. Mm-hmm. So we're used to the foaling, the foal handling, you know, because Monty introduced me to the figure of eight rope, which has really been revolutionized, you know, and I definitely use it, especially on very newborn foals. That is really effective. And then we kind of come to the foal handling as they kind of mature over the months and the, you know, period. Then we come to the weaning process. I was introduced to the weaning process at a very stressful method, you know, mm-hmm. where you forcefully separate the mare and foal. But now we've fine-tuned that method, so there's hardly any stress because of the separation. Mm-hmm. So the mare's not stressed, the foal's not stressed at all, you know. So you can kind of mature into, you know, a sensible adult, you know, yeah. rather than a stressed little individual
right.
that doesn't know what's going on,
yeah.
you know.
Give us some tips on that. What do you do to bring the stress level down? Not ripping them mm-hmm. apart, but what do you do to work with them while they're still close?
Oh, yeah, close to foaling. Well, you've got to make sure all the preamble's finished. They've done their feet, you've wormed them, you've vaccinated them all before the weaning process. And then when the actual weaning process comes along, we use a lot of the ramp end panels for that, because you're doing two things when you're weaning. You're actually separating the mare from the foal, so it's a physical disconnect, and you're changing the nutritional intake from the foal as well. So it was predominantly getting milk, but now obviously the food is changing. Obviously, gradually the foal would get more grass, but then the milk obviously will stop completely. So there's that transition the horse has to go through. So in very simplistic terms, you can actually separate the mare and foal and put a ramp end panel between them. Mm-hmm. So they can still see each other. Mm-hmm. So they're not stressed. Mm-hmm. So they can still see each other, which is settles them down. The only thing that is happening, the foal hasn't got access to the mare's milk. Mm-hmm. So then you can start introducing different sorts of nutritional sources. Mm-hmm. You know, that can obviously been done before the weaning process. So there's not a sudden change. But so then gradually you could actually, from a distance point of view, separate them over the next days, weeks, further apart from each other, as long as the foal's got company. You don't kind of leave that foal on its own. If you haven't got a foal of similar age, you can find a granny, mm-hmm. an auntie,
yeah.
an uncle, you know, of very good-natured, that can kind of be companion to the newly weaned foal. Mm-hmm. So you need a physical companion for that foal to kind of interact with. Mm-hmm. There's no point you being the only physical interaction. Otherwise, they'll start playing with you mm-hmm. and then the boundaries gets pushed and that doesn't work.
Oh, I'm glad you said that out loud too. Because a lot of people don't have that opportunity within mm-hmm. their environment that sometimes they put a foal into. But maybe they should make an extra effort if they could to either find another foal that's mm. even within a few months
yeah.
or, like you said, mm. a nanny that would be a good position, because they need to learn to be a horse. And sometimes another youngster makes that fun, and sometimes the nanny makes that disciplined. And I think it is important to say out loud, because a lot of people who have just a backyard don't take that into consideration. So thank you for thinking of the horse first.
Because one of the worst animal behavior that we come across is the overhandled foal. And especially if they've lost the mother, and then people bottle feed them and so on, and then the foal develops into, it's not a horse.
Right.
And they don't think themselves as a horse.
Right.
They think themselves as an equal human. And that's a real problem to handle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they're bigger than us.
Yeah, yeah.
And faster.
And people come unstuck with them big time. And there's no easy cure to them. The only thing that we've come across really is what, quite literally, those horses, even at the foal stage, will have to be turned out in a bigger field with more horses so they become horse again or learn to be horse in the first place rather than a human play animal, you know?
And what does learn to be a horse look like for you when you say that out loud? I know you're thinking of something.
Yeah, it's because it's always strange when you introduce them to a herd. Even the herd realizes they aren't a horse, and they will keep that horse away from the herd or on the fringes. And it takes quite a while for that horse to be accepted within the herd. You know, weeks, sometimes months, that they actually accept that strange individual to be come into the herd. You know, so, and it has to become, learn to become a horse. So the subtle nuances of horse behavior start to come in there. They notice it straight away that this individual isn't a normal horse.
Yeah, that's true. Even with a normal horse, that there is some introduction to, and hierarchy has to happen and things like that too. But especially with the orphan, maybe people misconceive that they actually have to learn their own language. There is that evolutionary reaction as a flight animal that's always inside them and inherent, but their actual language of boundaries between horses has to be learned.
They have to learn the hierarchy system as such, because until then it was just humans and the one horse. So where's the hierarchy? They want to climb up to the top of the hierarchy and start domineering people. And that's where the problem lies. And you can't train that out of the horse. That doesn't work. And so many people try that and it doesn't work. You can train a horse, but you can't train an animal that thinks it's a human by training it to become a horse. That doesn't work. That simply doesn't work. It's only horses that can teach another individual to become a horse. And that's what you're kind of looking for. And this process with some horses might never be fully achieved, but you could get there. You're going in the right direction. The other horses will teach this individual to become a horse.
Super important, Ian. Thank you for sharing that too. That's wisdom learned, I'm sure, by seeing a lot of horses that people could have handled better. I think people are listening a little closer now to the concepts of equus, the language of horses. At least they seem to be more curious. We've got people taking classes now from around the calendar and also from around the world coming here, which is pretty exciting. And are you offering classes year-round at your place too?
Yeah, we do that. That's no issue. Obviously, we prefer them a bit more spring, summertime, autumn time, because the weather's better. But we have run courses in the middle of the winter where it was freezing. And obviously that is detrimental, because if you're kind of standing there observing other students or observing something, you get cold. The easiest way to keep warm in the winter is keep working, keep doing something with a horse, you know. So So then we're kind of shying away from the worst parts of the winter, you know?
Okay. All right. I don't blame you. I'm not a cold person either. So, but I like the idea that you can take the courses and then go home and work with your horses or have access to horses that you can work with. And so we have some intermediate courses now that the reason you're here in California right now, besides Dad's 90th birthday, which is fun, is also to pick up on some of the teaching now that we're doing for these intermediate courses. So we have intro, intermediate, and advanced courses down the certification pipeline. Some people just take courses because they want to be educated to take home to their own horses and friends. But some people actually want to become instructors. So everybody knows that to learn something is one level. To actually instruct things is another level altogether. What did you learn about the intermediates that was new to you?
Well, here, the intermediate level with the new system, the new structure that's in place, is definitely a gear up from what we're used to in England. You know, as I said, there's so much more media content, and that people are much more internet savvy, computer savvy on how to deal with that. And here at Flaggers Up, it's been enhanced into that system, because as you're obviously well aware, it's worldwide, and the access is worldwide, you know, so it makes it so much easier for anybody to pick it up at any time and any place. And that is so valuable, because like you when do you learn? Well, when you're in the right frame of mind, in, you know, so even if it's like you're on a train journey, you've got half an hour time, you're just chilling out, you can do something there. Or there's nothing on TV and you can kind of find 10 minutes at home. You know, so time and location is not detrimental to learn about the Equus program.
It's an immersion course. I mean, you're learning a language and you're learning techniques that are very nuancey. That's when it's a language, right? So thank you for promoting that. So what are some of the countries that you met here, instructors from?
Oh, crikey. Well, I met Michelle again, who I first met 25 years ago here at Flaggers Up.
But she's
from Argentina. And then I've met Waldo. He's from Brazil, and Miguel. And then, I forget her name now. Let's say Miss Koyman from Holland.
Brenda.
That's
right.
And then Thibault from France. And I had a good conversation with him, because obviously his main inspiration has been Adrian, who was an instructor from France as well. You know, and we years ago used to go on tour, and we had, you know, great fun time with him. You know, very amenable chap he was. Then we've had the Polish ones there.
We've got two from Poland.
And I had a bit of chat with them, because our main equine veterinarian is Polish, and he's been our veterinarian for 25 years. So we get on well with him. Who else was there? Oh, I can't remember now. There's so many of them.
No, it's fine. I'm glad you brought Sam. You brought Jake Harris, your rider, who was Dad's tour rider for I don't know how many years.
Obviously Jake is doing the King's horses now, after having done the Queen's horses at Sandringham. Now he's doing the King's horses there, and he's still in contact a bit with your dad, because your dad is very interested to see what's actually happening there. So they had a brief chat a couple of days ago about what was going on. And I'm sure Jake would love to see him again and have another update on him, what's going on there.
Awesome.
So
that was fun. We had, how many riders stood up at the birthday party? There was, what, six riders?
I think, and from the ones I recognized, there were obviously Joanne from Wales. There was Simon's.
Sean McCarthy was at the very first demonstration in 1989. He was there, right? So all the way through.
Simon Stokes from Germany.
Amazing.
Dan Wilson from Cornwall.
20 years.
Yes.
Crazy.
He was one of my ex-students, and it was brilliant to kind of see him come through.
Yeah.
And And even now, I'm still learning even from him, because he mentioned something about I was introducing this leg rotation mm-hmm. on horses with farriers, and he's incorporating it onto some difficult starters before you get on them. So I'm learning, still learning off of him.
Fantastic.
Some bits and pieces. So learning never finishes.
No.
We all have different techniques and stuff like that, but you can always steal or pinch or an idea from somebody. So, yeah. You know, I'm really pleased to try this at home, because guess what? We got a tricky little pony.
Uh-huh.
And we're kind of getting there, but we're not quite there. And it was difficult to find the next step to kind of get it to chill out. And this might just work. It? Yes. Yeah, so I'm keen to go home to kind of have a go with this.
I bet you are.
Learning never stops.
I hope not, because we've got a long way to go for good horsemanship, and there's not enough wonderful horsemen like you, Ian Vandenberg. How do people get a hold of you?
Well, the easiest way is, as long as there's a bit of a record. If you ring me up, I tend to forget, you know.
Okay.
So it's easier to maybe email me.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's Ian, IAN, at Hartsup Farms, all one word, lowercase, hartsopfarm.co.uk.
Oh, that's right, .co.uk.
Yeah. It's not .com, it's .co.
Right, exactly.
Or you can WhatsApp me, and that's, because obviously we've got the record of the text then,
mm-hmm.
and if you go on my mobile, it was obviously international code 44, mm-hmm. It's 78764 16095.
Perfect. Well, thank you. I hope you will either write Ian or ring him up on WhatsApp, and check out, what a great way to go see some of the most beautiful country.
Oh, in the Cotswolds.
In the Cotswolds, yeah. It's beautiful too.
Yeah.
See a race maybe.
Come see an event
over there, eventing, and come meet Ian and Sandy. They're amazing.
Have you ever wished you could truly understand what your horse is trying to tell you? At Monty Roberts University, we believe in a gentle path to a deeper connection. Our online video library offers a kind and compassionate approach to horsemanship. Explore a treasure trove of wisdom from Monty Roberts himself. Lessons that teach you to listen, observe, and communicate in a language that your horse understands, his own. Grow your knowledge and build a relationship based on trust, not force. Visit MontyRobertsUniversity.com today. That's MontyRobertsUniversity.com. For a kinder way to connect. For details about today's show, go to horsemanshipradio.com, where you can find links and photos and information about our guests. We love connecting with you, so please follow us on Facebook, that's Monty Roberts, or Twitter, that's Monty_Roberts, or Instagram, that's Monty_Roberts. Many thanks to our sponsors, too, that you know who they are. They're Hands-On Gloves and Monty Roberts University. Be sure to visit all the other great shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Until next time, have many happy horse hours.